According to a new report from the International Union for the Conservation of Nature, about a third of all oceanic sharks are threatened with extinction. On today's second underreported segment, we'll take a look at the vulnerable species, what's causing their decline, and what can be done about it with Dr. Mary Chammy. She is the lead author and editor of the IUCN report and a shark specialist. Welcome to our show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Just yesterday, a 26-foot-long, 5,000-pound basking shark washed up on the shore of Long Island. Is that one of the species your report identifies as threatened?
Yes, absolutely it is. The basking shark is one of the 64 species that we looked at in this report.
And your report focuses on sharks in the open oceans. What's the main threat to these species?
Well, these species are taken in primarily by fisheries. It's overfishing that has threatened their conservation status. And fisheries take place in two forms. In some cases, these sharks are targeted by fisheries, but in most cases, they are taken as bycatch in fisheries that are seeking other species like tunas and swordfish.
So the same sort of thing that we saw with the dolphins happening with the sharks?
A very, very similar kind of bycatch problem.
And how long has this been a matter of concern?
Well, sharks have been fished for centuries and been of use to humans for many, many years. But it has been in the past half century or so that we have been able to document some of the declines of these populations. Sharks are very different from most other fishes, and they're almost more like mammals in that it takes them a very long time to reach sexual maturity, and they grow slowly, and once they are mature, they produce very few young. So it's very difficult for these sharks to keep up with the kinds of fishing pressures that we currently see in our open oceans.
Is it possible to legislate for them? Because most of them live in international waters, don't they?
That is correct. There are some of these fishes actually do move into our coastal waters on occasion, or occur in what we call the EEZs, or the exclusive economic zones of many coastal nations. But in large part, many of these sharks are taken out in the high seas in these fisheries targeting tunas and swordfish. And there are management bodies that are capable of managing them and calling for catch limits on some of these species, but they've been very slow to take up the call and take protective action.
One species, the scalloped hammerhead shark, has declined 99% over the past 30 years in some parts of the world. That level of decline seems staggering to me. Has the species effectively collapsed?
Well, the fisheries that would take them have collapsed. The populations are very much in trouble. When you have that level of decline in an ocean-going migrant, it is often difficult for them to recover. It takes them many, many decades to recover. It's not only the hammerheads that have suffered that level of decline, but also in the Northwest Atlantic, we have poor beagle sharks that have declined to only 10% of what we call their virgin biomass from the 1960s. And so we see this over and over again in fisheries around the world.
Now, dolphins are lovable, and we want to see them saved. I suspect sharks don't have as much of a support group.
Well, among some of us, so those in the shark specialist group, and actually many members of the public, including if you've been following the news, some shark attack victims also are now coming to speaking up on behalf of sharks. These animals seem to be very fierce, but ultimately, because of their biology, they are very vulnerable. And we're noting that as we see more and more declines, we have more and more of the public and fisheries scientists and conservationists actually coming to in support and speaking out to help conserve these animals.
What about pollution? Has that had an impact? Because sharks are at the top of the food chain, and we've seen increased levels of mercury and other pollutants found in other fish.
Yes, yes, especially in coastal waters, species that exist close to the shore will be more susceptible to runoff kinds of pollution than some of the ocean-going sharks. But you are correct. Mercury is a problem in these oceanic sharks. Because they are the top ocean predators, they bioaccumulate toxins in their flesh, and therefore there have been in some places of the world at certain times advisories against eating large sharks, for health reasons as well as because of the fact that many of these species are overfished.
If they go extinct, what impact will that have on the ecosystem?
Bill, this is a big question, a tough question. These are top predators, and like top predators on land, the lions and tigers and bears, which are a lot easier to study than ocean-going sharks, we know that when you remove an important link like a top predator from the ecosystem, there are trickle-down effects. We do not have very strong evidence to say what exactly will happen, and that's part of the reason why we have to be very careful about how many of these animals we take out of the oceans. We know they play an important role in maintaining, keeping some prey species in check, and they have been here 400 million years. They are obviously a very important and integral part of our marine ecosystems.
Can you tell us about the Shark Conservation Act of 2009?
I can. This is an act that we hope that some of your listeners will get involved in and write to their senators in support of. Earlier this year, the House passed their version of the Shark Conservation Act of 2009, and it's now in the Senate. And what this act does is it helps to improve how the U.S. fisheries manage our shark populations. What it does is it closes existing loopholes in shark finning regulations, and I should tell you what shark finning is. Shark finning is the practice by which sharks are, when they're caught, their fins are cut off and the rest of the shark is tossed back in the water.
And that's because it's valued as an ingredient in soups in China?
That's exactly right. It's sharks are a cachet kind of food. In Asian cultures, they are a main ingredient in shark fin soup, which are served at very high-level functions and weddings and things like that. And so there has been a tremendous demand for sharks, primarily for their fins. In some places in the world, shark meat is also important, but it is the fins that have been driving the fisheries, particularly for these oceanic sharks. And the effort of this legislation is to close the loopholes that prevent shark finning in U.S. waters by making it so that you cannot fin a shark at sea. You must land the shark with its fins naturally attached.
And what's the status of the act in Congress?
I think it's doing quite well. I mean, we know it passed the House, and we are waiting for the Senate to take action. And so the more people chime in and call their senators or write letters in support, the better they have of this act passing. It will help us as the U.S. maintain a leadership role in global shark conservation and also allow the U.S. to identify countries that have not been as good at passing finning legislation or enforcing their laws and putting caps on sharks' fisheries, and help us make sure that they do a better job.
Dr. Mary Cammy is the editor, one of the editors of the book Sharks in the Open Ocean. Thank you so much for talking with us today in our second underreported segment.
You're more than welcome.
On tomorrow's show, chemist and industrial hygienist Monona Russell looks at the kinds of bacteria, viruses, and protozoa that can be found in swimming pools, and then a new exhibition about drawing in the Middle Ages at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Also, we will talk about the Creative Time Art exhibition on Governor's Island with its curator and a featured artist. And our latest Please Explain is all about mosquitoes. The Leonard Lopate Show is produced by Blakeney Schick, Stephen Valentino, and Julia Corcoran. Melissa Egan is the executive producer. We have help today from Adam Delahanty and Sherry Shen. Dimitri Krasny was at the audio controls. I'm Leonard Lopate, your host. Thanks for listening. We will see you tomorrow.